Now, morning. Today's daf in Erchin is Chafav. We are on the Mishnah in Chaf Hey Amud Beis at the bottom of the Mishnah. In the seventh parak in which we're in, so our primary discussion has been and will continue to be being a person being Makdish Shisteachuza. So when we talk about fields, we basically divide into two categories. One category is a Steachuza. That's an ancestral field, a field that you inherited from your father in Eretz Yisrael. And then there's a stay memker. Stay memker, a field that you purchased, but not really purchased, but rather leased. That is not really being discussed much in our parak. That's going to be discussed in the upcoming parak. With the stay achuza, so we know a number of halachas that we've gone over together. If a person is makdish a stay achuza, if he consecrates it, now makes it property of the Beis HaMikdash. So now, if he would like to buy it back from the Beis HaMikdash, be goel, the stay achuza. So he's going to be buying it back at a fixed rate. The Torah gives a very clear and fixed rate in terms of how you buy it back, regardless of what its market value is. You're going to be paying its fixed rate, maximum of 50 shekelim per core of barley. We spent a number of times since the beginning of this parak. It's not a long parak. The parak begins on Chav Dalet, talking about the various details in terms of what year you could be makdish it, what year you could be goel it, can you be makdish it in the yovel year, machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and a number of different ideas. If there are years remaining between the geula and the yovel, those years will be accounted for, and the redemption will be prorated based on the maximum number of 50 years divided by 49 years. We discussed this already at length. If you be makdish part of a field, that is going to be also redeemed at the same rate. You just simply figure out the ratio of it's going to be one core per 50 shkalim, half a core, 25 shkalim, etc., etc. Okay. We are going to be starting the discussion now as follows. We have learned in yesterday's daf that in the event that you are makdish the field and somebody else is redeeming the field and it's not you. If you yourself are going to be redeeming your own field that you're a makdish, so you're going to have to be paying not only the fixed rate, but on top of that, a 25% surcharge. The Torah describes as being chomish. If somebody else redeems it, so then he does not have to pay the surcharge. But there's also going to be a very big significant difference whether you redeem it or if somebody else redeems it. If you redeem it, so then that means that you are now going to get back your ancestral field. It's going to stay with you. Yovel comes and you will still maintain your field. However, if somebody else redeems it, under those circumstances, the land is not going to come back to you in Yovel, but rather it's going to go to the Kohanim. And in the previous Mishnah, we made this point. So much so we said in the previous Mishnah that even if a Kohen himself is somebody who redeems it, it still means that what's going to happen in Yovel is that it's going to go to the institution of Kohanim. And as we already said a number of times, the Kohanim that are going to end up receiving this land in the Yovel year, a land that was mukdash by the owner, redeemed by somebody else. So in Yovel, what it's going to do is it's going to go to the Kohanim, specifically those working in the Beis HaMikdash, those who are operating the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishmar on that Yom Kippur of that Yovel year. So they're the ones who are going to be receiving the property.
How do they decide who receives it between them?
Between them, I guess it would be divided. That would be my best guess. Okay. With that stated, now we are continuing along this line. We are now in the Mishnah, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, and a simple question. What happens if a person's makdish his land, and Yovel comes, and there has been no geula? Nobody redeemed the land. What becomes of this land now that has gone unredeemed? The Torah's example, let's just go work with the Pesukim. The Torah's example is actually a very clear example, and not one which we're talking about. The Torah starts off, the Mizdeachuzi Yakdish, if a person is consecrating his ancestral field, this is Perik Chavzain Pasuk Tetzain in Parshas Bechukosai. In Mizdeachuzi Yakdish, Ishla Hashem, Ayakar Chalafiz Arazer, Chomasarim Bechamishim Shekel Kasaf. So the Torah says the rate of redemption, as we already discussed. In Mishnasa Yovel Yakdish Adeo Bekerka Chayakum. And if it's from the Yovel year, remember we had two different ways of how to read this Pasuk earlier in the Perik. But simply put, if he's doing so from the beginning of the Yovel cycle, so ke'erka chayakum, so then it's going to go at its full value, 50 shkalim. V'imachar Yovel yakdish adir v'chishiv lo akonis ha-kesef al-pi ha-shanim no-saros ha-shnas ha-yovel v'nikra ha-mekracha. Anything less than the maximum number of years, so it's going to be prorated. I'm not translating the psukim really well in terms of each phrase, but that's the basic idea. Pasuk yotes. V'im gaol yigal es hasada hamakdish orso. V'yasif chamishis kesef er kachala v'kamlo. So Pasuk Yutes tells us that if the owner himself redeems it, he's going to be paying its fixed rate value, plus he's also going to be adding on a fifth. V'im lo yigal es hasada. And now here we're going to be slowing down, because these are the psukim that we're going to be focusing on in the course of today's daf. V'im lo yigal es hasada, v'im machar es hasada l'ish acher, lo yigal od. And if the owner himself doesn't redeem it, meaning that's a continuation of the previous pasuk, which was talking about the owner. V'im lo yigal sasada. So if the original owner doesn't redeem it, v'imachar sasada. And if the field is sold, and as we learned in yesterday's daf, that means the gizbar, the temple treasurer now, is selling the field l'ishachir to another person. And as we learned in yesterday's daf, ishachir means anyone other than the principal or the son of the principal, the son of the original owner. So lo yigal od. So at this point in time now, it is no longer eligible for any kind of redemption by the original owner. The original owner now has lost this land from his family forever. Now what happens to this land once we get to the Yovel? Because the one who has now leased the land, he has certainly not purchased the land, meaning it's not his and his family's. What he knows is that, and it's obviously, it's baked into the price that he's going to pay when he leases the land from Hekdesh, is that he's only going to be paying based on the number of years that are remaining until Yovel. So, what happens now in the Yovel? Lo yigal od. The original owner can no longer redeem it. And what happens now is vayasa debetzei sobe Yovel, so that when the field goes out in Yovel, korosh lachshem kistei acherem, it is going to be treated like steichem, lekon tiyachuz aso, goes to the Kohanim. And as I explained, the institution of Kohanim, specifically the Kohanim are working in the Mishmar that week, that Yom Kippur of the Yovel year. Okay. Period. And then from that point going forward, v'im estei miknaso, asher lo mistei achuz aso. And then we talk about what happens when a person is consecrating a leased field, but we're going to get to that a little bit later on. Okay, so the Torah is very clear, actually, that the situation in which it goes to the Kohanim is where the owner himself doesn't redeem it, but rather somebody else redeems the land. And then what's going to happen is that's going to rebound over to the Kohanim in Yovel. That part's clear. Here's what's not clear, and here's what's going to be open for a discussion. And a three-way machlokas. What happens if the owner's makdish the land, and then nothing? Nobody redeems the land until Yovel, not the original owner, and not anybody else as well. And now we enter into Yovel. So what happens under those circumstances? I'll give you your options. Do the Kohanim automatically obtain ownership of it? Do the Kohanim obtain ownership of it, but they themselves have to be redeeming the land? Maybe nothing. Maybe the Kohanim don't get it. The Kohanim only get it under the circumstance where somebody redeems it. But here, nobody redeemed it. And so what's going to happen now is that basically nothing. In that position of nothing, there's a lot of follow-up questions. But I'm just right now outlining the three basic positions that we're going to be encountering in the course of this morning. Okay. Let's start with the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going to present all three positions. Higia Yovel v'lo nigala Kohanim nichnasam l'socha v'nosim estameh div Rabbi Yehuda. So let's say Yovel comes and nobody redeems the land. Not the original owner, not anybody else. So Shita number one of the Mishnah, which is Shita's Rabbi Yehuda, is that the Kohanim go in and they have to pay its value of the land. Meaning the land needs redemption. The Kohanim have the right to redeem it, meaning it's going to be their land, but only with redemption. Now with Rabbi Yehuda, what happens if the Kohanim don't want to redeem it? I'm not sure. But anyway, that's Shita's Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer Nichnasim V'lo Nosnim. Rabbi Shimon says, what do you mean? The Kohanim just simply go in and assume ownership of the property. Meaning in Yovel year, if a consecrated land has gone unredeemed, it simply goes to the Kohanim in Yovel, period. And the Kohanim don't have to pay any kind of price.
The Hekdesh loses money.
Yeah. Well, hopefully what Hekdesh did, hopefully...
Had the opportunity.
Right. Hopefully what Hekdesh will do...
Kohanim take it without paying.
No, understood. Understood. Your point is very good. Hopefully what Hekdesh will do is that during the interim between the time that you are Makdish and Yovel, so they will lease out the land.
Right,
meaning that they have usage of the land. So, okay. Rabbi Lazar Omer lo nichnasim v'lo nosim ela nikra stei retushim.
Leasing the land is like buying it.
Same thing. Okay. Rabbi Lazar Omer lo nichnasim v'lo nosim ela nikra stei retushim. Ad hayovel hasheni. And the third opinion in the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Lazar, which is that the Kohanim don't go in. We don't give it to the Kohanim. The land is referred to as stei retushim. It is just an abandoned property. Ad Yovel Hasheni, until you get to the next Yovel. So we are another 50 years later. This is some This is some story. It's a long story. Now, if the second yovel comes and the land has still has gone unredeemed, nikras retushe retushim. So it is a really abandoned land. Ada yovel shlishi. Until we get to the third yovel. And so, again, this is a really long story. But the Shita's Rabbi Elazar seems to be, the simplicity of his position is that a land that has gone unredeemed in the, up until the first Yovel is just going to be in a state of being unredeemed, meaning the Kohanim cannot assume ownership of it whatsoever. Again, there are going to be a lot of follow-up questions for the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Let's stay tuned. La'olam ein ha-Kohanim nechnasu masocha ad shigalana acher. Kohanim cannot enter into the land until somebody redeems it. Okay. That is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So in front of us now, right now, we have, for lands that are consecrated and that have gone unredeemed, we have three opinions amongst the Tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Kohanim do assume ownership in Yovel. They are given the land in Yovel, but they have to pay. They have to give the redemptive price of that land. Second opinion is that of Rabbi Shimon, which is Kohanim just simply assume ownership of the land, period. It goes to the Kohanim in Yovel. And the third position is that of Rabbi Eliezer, which is that the land is an abandoned field and nothing happens in Yovel if it has gone unredeemed. My time of the Rebbe Yehuda. So there's a lot of follow-up questions, and let's begin right now. And let's start off with exploring the Shita Rebbe Yehuda. So Gamer Kodesh Kodesh mi Makdish Bayis. So he learns it out based on a Gzereshava. The word Kodesh is used over here. The word Kodesh is used by Bayis, a person sanctifying his house. Malahalam bedamim, mafkam bedamim. So when it comes to the sanctification of a house, so its redemption comes about through damim. In other words, you pay the value. Take a look at the first Rashi on the Gemara. Makdish bayis ksiv ki akdish is based on kodesh of a steach chuz ksiv b'tzeisa biyova kodesh ma bayis lo seitzel la olam yad hekdish ela damim. Now, when it comes to a house, if a person consecrates his house, so unlike a property, the house remains in kedusha perpetuity. Thank you. It was there. Okay, it just took its time to come out. It stays in kodesh perpetuity until someone redeems it. So now, based on this Gzereshava, Rabbi Yehuda says the same thing is going to be true with a stay achuza that now is mukdash. So, and Rashi quotes the psukim, and fine. So in other words, so just like a house can only be released and redeemed from hektesh with a redemption, so with money, same thing is true with a field. A stay achuza that is mukdash, that has gone unredeemed, so in Yovel, it is going to go Kohanim, but there has to be a redemptive price paid. Rabbi Shimon Gamar Kodesh Kodesh Mikivsei Atzeres. And now Rabbi Shimon also has Gzereshava, but his Gzereshava takes him into a different direction, and that's Kvasim. And here we have one of those situations which comes up pretty often in Shas, where we have a Gzereshava, and we're debating where exactly the Gzereshava is going. Now we know the rule, Ein Adam Danin Gzereshava Me'atzmo, Ela Im Ken Kibo Me'rabo. You can't simply fabricate or even logically deduce a Gzereshava. A Gzereshava has to be a Masara. And so it's one of those open-ended questions which, you know, you could, you know, at least offer suggestions. How is it that we can have debates of where the Gzereshava is going? But the Gemara brings it down. Rabbi Shimon Gamar Kodesh Kodesh Mikivsei Atzeres Malahalan Bechinam Afkan Bechinam. The Kivsei Atzeres now, where the word Kodesh is used over there as well, so that tells us that the Kohanim are receiving the Kivsei Atzeres, the lambs that are offered on Shavuos, and they do so, and they don't pay for it, meaning it is a matana that's given to the Kohanim. So Rabbi Shimon says the same thing is true with a stay achuza, that the owner, the original owner, was makdish, has gone unredeemed. It now becomes a matana to the Kohanim in Yovel. Rabbi Yehuda Nami Leilav Mekivsei Atzeres. So now the Gemara points out, why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda go in the same direction as Rabbi Shimon? And we're going to go back and forth. And it's interesting over here because what the Gemara is going to do is basically layer on top of the Gzereshava a Svara. So it's interesting. You have a hybrid over here of kind of a Gzereshava with a Svara layered on top of it.
Is that usually done?
I don't. It's a fair question. All right. If my knowledge was more encyclopedic, so then I give you a good answer. So Rabbi Yehuda Nami Nelev Mekivsei Atzeres Dan Kachi Bedekabayis Mekachi Bedekabayis The Ain Dan Kachi Bedekabayis Mekachi Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda says that what we're going to do is we're going to learn Kachi Bedekabayis from Kachi Bedekabayis, meaning the house to the field, but by introducing Kivsei Atzeres, that's Kedusha Seguf, that's a carbon. So it doesn't categorically really belong in this discussion. Rabbi Shimon Nami Nelev Me Makdish Bayis. So, and why doesn't Rabbi Shimon learn out from the Makdish Bayis Gezerah Shava? So, Danim Davisha Matana Lekohanim, Davisha Matana Lekohanim, Vein Danim Davisha Matana Lekohanim, Davisha Eina Matana Lekohanim. A bias is not one of the Matnas Kahuna, as opposed to a consecrated field that's gone unredeemed, that's one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna. Kif Seat Saras, that's one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna. So, in terms of putting it in the right category, it's categorically more appropriate to link together Kifsei Atzeres and an unredeemed consecrated field because they're both Matnas Kahuna. Masha Inkain, when it comes to the Kifsei Atzeres, sorry, when it comes to the bias, that's not Matnas Kahuna.
It's a Korban, though.
No, the Kifsei Atzeres is a Korban. Good, so you're just...
So you're apples and oranges.
No, I understand that, but in other words, it just depends on how you look at it. Do you look at it from a Kedushas Damim standpoint? So then you're going to favor Rabbi Yehuda. Are you going to look at it from a Matana standpoint? Then you're going to favor Rabbi Shimon. It's just really, there are different angles to look at it. And so based on the angle in which you look at it, so you're going to arrive at a different conclusion.
Does it matter whether the Kifsei Atzeres is Metaltilin compared to the Gemara?
I mean, again, there are different ways to look at it. The Gemara is just formulating it in one of two possible angles. Okay. And for the rest of today's daf, the Gemara is going to be fixated on the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Really interesting Shita. And a consecrated land that has gone unredeemed, so in the Yovel year, it does not go to the Kohanim. And then it'll just simply wait for consecration until you get to the second Yovel and the third Yovel. And it remains in Kedusha in perpetuity until somebody redeems it. Okay. So a lot of follow-up questions for Rabbi Eliezer, and the Gemara starts. Rabbi Elazar Amar lo nichnasim v'lo nosim amar rabbi ma'itam de rabbi Elazar. So the first question the Gemara wants to know is, what is the source of Rabbi Eliezer? Where does he generate this position from? Amar krav v'im lo yigal asasad de lo yigal od. V'im machar asasad de v'yasad de b'tzei so b'yovel. So the way Rabbi gives an approach to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar is basically as follows. As we pointed out, the psukim that we're going to be focusing on is psukim yutes and chaf in the parsha. And just to review the psukim once again, the pasuk says Vim Gali Yagal Sasada Makdisho Soviet. No, I'm sorry. Pasuk Chaf and Chaf Aleph. Okay. Shift. Vim lo yigal sasada v'imachar sasada lisha achir lo yigal od. So the pasuk says that if the field goes unredeemed, and if the field is sold to somebody else, so lo yigal od, so then it's not going to be redeemed anymore. Vehaya sada b'tzei so b'yova kodesh l'Hashem kisei achem l'kon tiyachuz aso, and it will in the Yovel year go to the Kohanim. So, if we were to break up the Pasuk, so I would break it up in the following manner. Meaning, we'll see how Rabba's going to break it up. But we would say it like this. Im lo yigal sasada, if the land goes unredeemed, v'imachar sasada lishacher, and the land was sold to somebody else, so that is one storyline with the following two consequences. One, lo yigal od. At this point in time, the original owner no longer can redeem it. And then two is Ayasai Debet Seisav Yovel Korsh L'Hashem, Kistei Acherim. And two, then it's going to go to the Kohanim and Yovel. So that would be the simplest way to read the Pesukim. This is not the way Rabba's reading the Pesukim according to Rabbi Eliezer. But rather, he does the following. In Pasuk Chafam, V'im Lo Yigal Sasad, if the field goes unredeemed. Break, in the Pasuk right over there. What's the consequence? So then, Lo Yigal Od. So then the land is going to not be redeemed at all, meaning it's going to remain unredeemed even as you go through the Yovel year. And then the second half of Pasuk Chaf, V'imachar sasad lishacher, well, that brings us now to V'haya b'sad sadeh b'tzeisob yovel korosh l'Hashem. So basically now what he's doing is he's taking the first phrase, applying it to the first consequence, taking the second phrase and applying it to the second consequence. But sequentially, that's not how the pasuk is reading. So what he really is doing is a number on the sequence of the psukim. It's almost like he's going A, B, A, B, as opposed to, right, one storyline with two consequences. And so the Gemara to that says, what Rabba does to the pasuk, it's not right. It's not right. So again, let me read inside in the Gemara. Amar Rabba, my tamad Rabba Laz, Amar Kravi, im lo yigal sasada, lo yigal od. Okay, so that is, if the field goes unredeemed, the field is not going to, it will remain unredeemed. Meaning, that's talking about an unredeemed field that was consecrated. And v'imachar sasad devayasad b'tzeis b'yovel. And if the field goes redeemed anytime during the yovel, then and only then is it going to go to the Kohanim. So Amar Abai, so Abai, when he hears this kind of drasha, where in order to formulate this point in the pasuk, you have to basically segment the pasuk, where it goes event A to consequence A, event B to consequence B, but that's not the sequence of the pesukim. So Abaye says, Sakina Harifa Paske Cry. You basically took a knife and you cut up the pesukim. How can you do that? That's not how the pesukim sequentially read. So Elam Rabaye, time of the Rebbe Elazar Kedetanya. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we're going to have to say now is a whole different pshat for Rabbi Eliezer. Abaye rejects the pshat that was given by Rabbah, and Abaye now offers his own. And he's going to formulate it based on a brisa. Now, obviously, Abaye is has the brisa as part of his mesora, but is what we're going to see is we're going to analyze the brisa. Brisa reads in the following manner: Lo yigael. So the Torah says that this person, the ancestral owner of the field, can no longer redeem it. Let's give him a name just to make life really simple. Let's call him Reuven. So Reuven cannot redeem the field anymore. He is the original owner of the field. So lo tei nigel shetei lefanav kistei mikna. Now I might have thought, okay. So when the Torah says lo yigael, that means nothing. You have nothing more to do with this field. You can't redeem it anymore as an ancestral owner, and you can't even lease it anymore. So tam alomer od. So when the Torah says od, it means as you had originally, and that means to say lechmosha haysein negelas avan negelas shetei lefanav kistei mikna. You, when you are now want to do any kind of buyback of this field, you can no longer buy it back as the ancestral owner, but you can lease it if you'd like to. That is the brisa. Ad kan divrei brisa. Wait, just 1 second. 1 second. Now, in this brisa, so we clearly have this idea that the original owner now is going to be barred and banned permanently from getting it back as the ancestral owner, but he would be able to get it back as a regular leased field. Now, this brisa does not explain who the author is. It doesn't give a name of who the author is. And at the same time, however, it's not super clear what exactly the circumstances of the brisa was as well. So the Gemara now is going to make a couple of assumptions in terms of trying to gather what the brisa is describing and who the author of the brisa is. Obviously, the direction Abaye wants to go is he wants to highlight that the author of this brisa is Rabbi Eliezer, and then he's going to make his point. So let's see. Are we talking about during the first Yovel? What do you mean the owner can't redeem it during the first Yovel? The owner can redeem it during the first Yovel. That's what the being the owner means. You are makdish the field, but of course you have the opportunity to redeem it. In fact, as I mentioned yesterday, the hekdesh, the bedek habayis, would prefer if the owner redeems it. That's more money for them. So it must be that when we are banning and barring the original owner from redeeming it, it's talking about a circumstance where we have crossed over from the first Yovel, now we're into the second Yovel. Ulaman. Now the Gemara says, now let's think this through. Elam le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Lekohanim, Nafka. Now according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, why are we even having a discussion of the original owner taking a crack at redeeming the field? According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, they both agree that it goes to the Kohanim. So there's no discussion to be had about the original owner buying back the field. Fine. So it can be Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So I love Rabbi Eliezer. So it must be the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Shema Mina Taima de Rabbi Eliezer Mehacha. So the Gemara says, so what have we just learned together? What we just learned together is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, since the Brisa is describing a scenario. Now again, Brisa doesn't say this clearly. We are making assumptions. But the Brisa seemingly is talking about a case where you had a field consecrated by Reuven. It has gone to Yovel. No one redeemed it. And now the Brisa says that when you are now in Yovel number 2, so Lo Yigala Ode, which is coming to teach us that you cannot, you Reuven can no longer redeem it as the ancestral owner, but what you can do is you can lease it back from the Beit HaMikdash. What you see from here is that the land does not go to the Kohanim during Yovel, because if the land would be going to the Kohanim in Yovel, so then the land would be in the hands of the Kohanim, like the Gemara just articulated. This is the suggestion of Abai in terms of the source of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, as we all know, we've gone through enough Gemara where we know anytime you want to build a case of what the Brisa is talking about based on assumptions, those assumptions don't have to be correct. And the Gemara here makes exactly that point. V'tisba Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, I owed my Darshi Bey. So the Gemara says, first of all, you dismissed out of hand the Brisa can't be going like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Question, simple question. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon know that the Torah says the word owed. And what are they going to do with the word owed? Meaning they also have to explain that something is not the same. Something is not the way it originally was. So how do they explain that pasuk? Elahachib amai skin. So the Gemara says, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the Brisa, explain the Brisa again, and do so in a manner in which the Brisa can go like either Rabbi Huda or like Rabbi Shimon. And so therefore Abaye's proof now totally is left the field. So the Gemara says, "Hachamim ma'iskinim b'sadeh she'atz l'kohanim." So we're talking about a field that the Reuven was makdish the field, and nobody redeemed it, and it went to the Kohanim in Yovel, like either the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Either they're going to pay for it or they're going to get it for free, depending on whether you hold like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. It could go like either of the two. V'higdisha Kohen. And what happens now is that the Kohen during Yovel number two, during our second Yovel, so the Kohen was makdish the land. Vasu balam lemifrike. So now the original owner says, Reuven says, okay, you know what? Here's my chance, right? I missed that first opportunity. I should have redeemed it during the first Yovel. I didn't. Oh, but here we are now. Yovel number two. You know what I'm going to do this time around? I'm going to redeem my property back. Ah, and so now you understand, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, here comes the drasha. So sakadach, I mean, alo tifrik shetei lefanav kistei mikna. So the I might have thought that he's so permanently barred and rejected from this land that he can't even lease it. So tamad lomer, o lechmosha haisa ninegel sefanagel shetei lefanav kistei mikna. So the Gemara says, that's what the ode is coming to tell us. The ode is coming to tell us is that you, Reuven, you missed your opportunity from buying back the land during the first Yovel. So during the second Yovel, you have permanently lost your opportunity to get the land back for your family. But what you can do, if you'd like, is you could lease the land till Yovel. Okay. V'atanya, the Gemara now points out that this shot that we just offered in the Braisa, where now the Braisa is going like Rabbi Huda or like Rabbi Shimon, and the Braisa doesn't have to be going like Rabbi Eliezer, and the whole source for Abaye now goes away. So then the Gemara now points out this pshat that we just offered. So this is actually pshat. We have another Braisa that totally corroborates this. Bishnasa Yovel Yeshuvasa Dela Asher Kaneu Mito. So the pasuk says that in the Yovel year, the land is going to return from the person in which you purchased it from. I might have thought that it should go back to the Gizbar. No, for the one who has received Achuzas Haaretz. So the Gemara says now, the fact that the Torah has to say on two separate occasions that's going to go back to the owner. It says Lasher lo Achuzas Haaretz, the one who has inherited it, and it also says Lasher kana mito. What is the need for both of these expressions in the Torah? So the Gemara goes on to explain. So we're talking about a land where in Yovel, so it has gone, Reuven was Makdashit, it has gone unredeemed, and now in the Yovel year it goes to the Kohanim, again, like either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon, Umachra Kohen, and what the Kohen does now as he is now the owner of this property is that he sells the land, V'higdishu Lokeach, and then when the buyer has now purchased the land, so he's Makdashit, which he totally can. In other words, when you're makdish estei mikna, a leased property, so what you're really being makdish is the lease. You're not being makdish the land, you're being makdish the lease. So that's perfectly fine. Vigala acher. And along comes somebody else to redeem it. So now, yachol tachzor lebaal merishonim. So consider now that we have a land in Yovel number two, where, again, Reuven in Yovel number one lost the land. The land went to the Kohanim because this price is going like either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon. Then the next sequence of events is that the Kohen who has now received the land has sold it to somebody. That person who purchased it now has been makdish the lease. Somebody else comes along and redeems it. I know there's a lot of details over here. But the basic point that's coming out now is as follows. We now have a scenario where, so it's going to now rebound. The land is going to rebound. So perhaps one can make the argument, well, if anyway it's rebounding, and it's not going to be going to the original Kohanim of the end of the first Yovel, because they have lost that land because they were not the ones who redeemed it. If they wanted to keep the lands, they should have been the one that redeemed it. They were not the ones who redeemed it. So what's now a potential possibility, or at least a consideration, is that this land should go bounce back to who? It should bounce back to Reuven. And it's going to bounce back anyway, so let it bounce back to Reuven. So the Gemara says, no, what it's going to do is it's going to bounce back to the Kohen and not to Reuven. So we have now basically two scenarios laid out in the Braisa in terms of expressing the idea that once Reuven has lost the land at the end of Yovel number one, so then in Yovel number two, regardless of how you illustrate the scenario, it is simply not going to go back to Reuven. And we basically have now developed two illustrations of how it's not going to go back to Reuven. Either the Kohen was Makdishit, and and the original owner redeemed it. He's not redeeming it. He's just leasing it. That's one way to express it. Or another way to express it, which is quite frankly more complicated, is where when the Kohen received it in Yovel, he sold it. The leasee was makdish the lease, and then somebody else came back and redeemed it. So I now might have thought that since it's going to be bouncing back, it should be bouncing back to Reuven. No, it's bouncing back to the Kohen. Now the itzrich lo yigal v'itzrich lemichtav asher kano. Now the Gemara is just going to simply highlight that both of these points are absolutely necessary. Because of Rechman lo yigal delo kahadra klal. There, in the first case of lo yigal, so it wasn't returning back to its owner. Avahachad kahadra tehadla marikama. But over here, since it's going back anyway, so let's make the argument that it should go back to the original owner, meaning Reuven. So Kasav Rechman Lasher Kanahu. So that's why the Lasher Kanahu is coming to tell me, no, it goes back to the Kohen. The E Kasav Rechman Lasher Kanahu Deloka Yav Balim Deme. Now, in the second case that we illustrated, the second and more complicated case that we illustrated, the original owner, after he was makdish the land, was totally out of the picture forever. He never put any money back into the land. Avahacha, but in the first case that we illustrated, the Kayav Dame, where he actually put money in, remember, in the first case, the Kohen was makdish the land after he got it in Yovel, he was makdish the land, and then the original owner comes and he redeems it. So one can make the argument now that since he redeemed it, so it should go back to him. So take him yadayu kasav rechman lo yigael. V'i kasav rechman lo yigael. And if the Torah would have said only lo yigael v'lo kasav od, havamina lo tifer klal. Kasav rechman lo od, l'chmosh ha'isa in a negel sov a negel shetelefana kistei mikna. So the Gemara says, and then what we get from the word od is the idea which we articulated earlier, but the Gemara is just simply reviewing, is that I could have made the argument that once Reuven has lost the field in the first Yovel, so that's it, he's totally rejected from the field. He can't even lease the field, so the Ode is coming to tell me, no, that during the second Yovel, if he would like to, he could lease the field. Okay, Adkan. What we have done now, in the course of the first half of today's daf, is that we have gone through the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Shita of Rabbi Shimon, sources for Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. It's basically a Gzeira Shava layered on top of it with a little bit of Svara. And now what we have attempted to do is find a source for Rabbi Eliezer. We know what the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is. A consecrated field that's gone unredeemed is not going to go to the Kohanim in Yovel. It's an abandoned field. And so now it's basically going to remain in Kedusha until eventually somebody redeems it. Okay. That is the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. What is the source of the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer? So most of Chavav Amin Aleph deals with the question of what is the source of his Shita. Rabbah offers a pshat, Abaye offers a pshat based on a braisa. The Gemara basically comes out inconclusive in terms of what the source of Rabbi Eliezer is. In fact, it's so inconclusive that it brings us now to the next point of the Gemara. My Have Allah. So the Gemara says, so wait 1 second. So what is the source of Rabbi Eliezer? So we spent an amud trying to decipher, but we haven't done so. Now, most of the time in the Gemara, when you see the words My Have Allah, it means that the Gemara is having a halachic discussion. And the Gemara would like to now know what is the conclusion, the bottom line of the halacha. This is one of those unusual times where my havayalah, Rashi says it beferish, my havayalah means we've just had a lengthy discussion of what is the reason of Rabbi Eliezer, which one is the correct reason behind Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar Rava, Amar Krava, Ayasa De B'tseso B'yovo. So B'tseso Miad Acher. So the Rava says it's based on the pasuk of that the when the field goes out in Yovel, meaning b'tseso, what does it leave? It leaves somebody's possession. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, somebody has to be in possession of the land in order for the field to go to the Kohanim. If the field is in nobody's hands, so then the field is not going to go out in Yovel. Okay. So I know that the bottom line of what the svar is for Rabbi Eliezer came very decisively and very succinctly. It's one line of Gemara. But meanwhile, okay, that's the laboratory of the Gemara. The Gemara sometimes spends in full amud trying to figure out a source. And meanwhile, which one of them is the actual source? None of the above. Which one is it? Rava has a source. Okay, did Rava share it with Abaye? I'm sure he did. It may be Abaye didn't like it. Okay, I don't know. Okay, Ibai Lahu. We are now on the top of Chavav Amidays. And the Gemara now is going to have one follow-up question with Rabbi Eliezer. We now have learned that according to Rabbi Eliezer, a consecrated field that's gone unredeemed, so what happens in Yovel? Nothing happens in Yovel. And so now you're in the second Yovel cycle. Question. I'll articulate it outside, and we'll see it inside in just a moment. Can the original owner, can Reuven basically come back during the second Yovel and say, look, I know I should have redeemed it during the first Yovel. I get it. But that's in the past, and let's not live in the past. I want to redeem the land right now. Can the original owner come in And according to Rabbi Eliezer, and this only works according to Rabbi Eliezer, the question that is, can the original owner come in during the second Yovel and say, I want to redeem it as the ancestral owner of the field, and I'd like to bring it back into my family? And can he do that in Yovel number two? To express the question otherwise, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Yovel for a non-redeemed land, is that a non-event? Is it a total non-event? So that means to say that for unredeemed lands that were consecrated by the original owner, Yovel is a zero. Or the other possibility is that no. Yovel now has broken the relationship between owner and the land. Now, it doesn't mean it goes to the Kohanim, because in order for it to go to Kohanim, someone had to have redeemed it. Nobody redeemed it. But Yovel breaks the relationship. So I'm just saying over the question in just a different couple of ways so that you can hear it. The way the Gemara articulates the question is that during the Yovel Sheni, during our second Yovel, is the original owner now considered an outsider? Remember yesterday, we talked about the difference between being the principal versus being an outsider. If you're the principal, so you can redeem the land, it's going to go back to you. Either you or your son. And then anybody else is Acher. So the question now, the way the Gemara formulates the question is, during the second Yovel period, does the owner, according to Rabbi Eliezer, assume Acher status? Okay. Tashma. The Gemara says, well, let's see. Lo yigal yachol lo tein yigal shet. Now, what's going to happen now at this point in time? We're going to have great chazara. Okay? In general, I advocate chazara. Okay? I practice what I preach. So I review the Gemara after the daf every day. I should be reviewing it a lot more. But anyway, so what the Gemara is now going to do is it's going to chazar the entire discussion that we had in the Amud Aleph, because what we're going to do is we're going to quote that brisa of Abaye. We're going to do the same analysis that we did with Abaye, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the Gemara really quickly, because all this now is a repeat from number one. Why? So then what's the point of repetition? Because now we're asking a new question, and we're using the brisa and the arguments that we made on the Amud Aleph to see if we can gain insight into our question. But eventually, as you know, what's going to happen is that originally Abaye presents the brisa as being authored by Rabbi Eliezer, working within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and then the Gemara is going to realize that you don't have to say that. The brisa could be going like Rabbi Huda, or the brisa could be going like Rabbi Shimon. And so therefore, at that point in time, the whole argument falls away. Okay, let's see all this inside. Tashma, the Gemara says, Lo yigal yachol lo tein yigal shetei lefan of kistei mikneh tamalamar od. Lech moshe aysayin in yigal savan yigal shetei lefan of kistei mikneh. So it's even though the relationship of the original owner to the land is that he's no longer can buy it back as a stei achuzah, but if he wants to, he can lease the field after Yovel. Now, what do you mean he can't redeem in the first Yovel? Of course he can. We're talking here about Yovel Sheni. Now, according to Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon, it goes to the Kohanim. So the discussion is totally irrelevant according to them, seemingly. So it's going according to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, Vishmam and Abalam, Yovel Sheni, Kacher Damu. And what do you see over here? That assuming that the price is going like Rabbi Eliezer, so when the owner comes back and says, hey, I want to buy the land, so what the Gizbar says to him is, well, you can't buy the land, but you can lease it. So you see clearly over here that if assuming the price is going like Rabbi Eliezer, so what is the owner to the land during second Yovel? He's Acher. He's like an outsider. So the Gemara says, now, once again, that's all very good and well, but you made a number of assumptions in order to get to this point. And so what we're going to do is we're going to challenge all those assumptions. V'tizbar Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon, hi od my darshi bay. So what is Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon going to do with the word od? V'el ha'achem ha'may skin and besada shiatso l'kohanim. So it must be that the Brisa is talking about the following scenario where the field in Yovel does actually go to the Kohanim, because the Brisa could either be going like Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon. V'ikdisha kohen, and the kohen is makdish v'alsu balon l'mifrika, and along comes the original owners now to redeem the land from the kohen who was makdish it during the second Yovel. And again, I might have thought that we say to the original owner, we say to Reuven, look, you can't even lease the land, meaning you are totally rejected from this land. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that no, even according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the original owner, Reuven, can come back and lease the land during the second Yovel. V'hatanya, and the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this as well. Yashav asadal asher kenem, yito yachol yachzol legizbar shalachu heimenu. I might have thought that it goes back to the Gizbar. Tamalamar la'asher achuzas ha'aretz. Ma tamalamar la'asher kaneu. So what is it? What is the Torah teaching us with the words asher kaneu sadish yachzol lekohanim? So we're talking about a field that goes to the Kohanim during Yovel. Umachar kohen. And what the kohen then does is he sells it to somebody else, meaning he's leasing it to somebody else. V'ikdishu. and the lisi is makdish the land. Lokeach vigala acher, and somebody along comes along now and redeems it. Yachol tachzor labalam erishonim. So this land now is rebounding in the next yovel. So let it rebound to the original owner, to Reuven. Tamalom lasher kanahu. So no, it's not going to rebound to Reuven. It's going to rebound to the Kohanim. Ve'itzurich lemichtav lo yigal ve'itzurich lemichtav lasher kanahu. And both of these points need to be made. Because of Rechman lo yigal the lo kahadri klal. So in the lo yigal, so there which that doesn't return at all. Because of Rechman lasher kanahu. Because of Rechman lasher kanahu the lo kayav balim deme. And in the case of asher kanahu, where the owner did not give any money of ahachadiyav balim deme. But in the first case where the Kohen was makdishit and the original owner puts money in, so you might have thought that it should go back to him. To take him yadayu kasar rechman lo yigal, vi kasar rechman lo yigal v'lo kasav od ahav amin lo tifer klal. So, and if the Torah would have said lo yigal but had not left out the word od, I might have thought that he cannot redeem it at all, kasar rechman lo od, which comes to tell him lechmusha. And so, no, the original owner can't buy it back as an ancestral property, but what he can do is if he wants to, he can lease the property. Okay, so, our question that started on the top of the Amud, according to Rabbi Eliezer, so that the land does not go to the Kohanim during the Yovel year, can it at least, can the original owner have the opportunity during Yovel number 2 to buy back the land and redeem it as the ancestral owner, according to Rabbi Eliezer? Right now, undetermined. My Havi Allah, so the Gemara says, okay, so let's get to a bottom line. So Tashma, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Geula Balim, Biyovel Sheni Yotzel Kohanim, Biyovel. So I'm sorry, Gala Balim Biyovel Sheni Yotzel Kohanim Biyovel. So if the original owner, and we know that this is Shitas Rabbi Elazar, because as it says from the beginning of the Braisa, if the original owner is Gola in the second Yovel, so it goes to the Kohanim Yovel. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Oh, I mean, in other words, period. Sorry, the Braisa actually is super clear. That what happens in that first Yovel is that that's it. The original owner now is severed from the land in terms of his ability to buy back the land as an ancestral owner. And Achinam, according to Rabbi Elazar, because no one redeemed it, so therefore it remains in Kedusha perpetuity. But still, owner and land now are disconnected. And so even if he redeems it after Yovel, he's not buying it back, he's just simply leasing it. And so therefore, in the second Yovel, it goes to the Kohanim. So Amalei Ravina LeRavashi V'ha'anan Lo Tanan Hachi. Now, that's not our Mishnah, because what does our Mishnah say? Rebbe Lazar, Amarein Kohanim Nechnas L'Mosocho, Ad Shigalenu Acher. Kohanim don't go in until somebody else redeems it. So Amalei Balim B'Yovel Sheni Ka'acher Damu. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You know what the owner is during the second Yovel? The owner is also considered Acher, meaning he's only considered the original owner up to the first Yovel. Beyond the first Yovel, he's not considered the original owner anymore, not even according to the Shita Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so in our first conclusion of, according to Rabbi Eliezer, can the owner buy back the land during the second Yovel as the ancestral owner? So the answer we've given right now is no, he cannot. But the story does not end. Igad Amri, the Gemara tells us another version of the discussion. Rabbi Eliezer, Amri Gala, B'Yovel Sheni, Eina Yotzel Kohen, B'Yovel. Now, in another version of this discussion, we're going to go in the opposite direction. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yovel is a non-event if the land has gone unredeemed. The relationship between the Reuven and his land after Yovel is the same. And if the original owner, if Reuven wants to buy back the land, redeem the land, even during the second Yovel, he may do so, according to Rabbi Eliezer. Oh, okay, fine. So exactly opposite of what we said before. So Amalei Ravina LeRavashi Afanami Tanina. We learned the same thing. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Eina Kohanim Nechnas L'Mosocho, Ad Shigalenu Acher. So now we're going to use the Mishnah to make this point. Because the Mishnah says that when does it go to the Kohanim? That's when someone else redeems it during the second Yovel. Sounds like from the Mishnah that if the principal of Reuven was the one to redeem it during the second Yovel, it goes to Reuven. And the Mishnah's not a good proof. Because we could have said what we said moments earlier. That during the second Yovel, you know who also is Acher? The original owner, Reuven, is also considered Acher during the second Yovel. And so it just can simply mean that he's like Acher. Okay, to recap. We have now a discussion, a lengthy discussion, really revolving around one topic. What happens to unredeemed properties that were consecrated? Stay Achuza, where the owner was Makdish the land, and there was no Geula, nobody redeemed it, not the original owner, not anybody else. So what happens to the land during Yovel? Three opinions, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda says it goes to the Kohanim, but they must redeem it. Rabbi Shimon says it goes to the Kohanim, and it's a Matana. They don't have to redeem it. Rabbi Eliezer says it remains in Kedusha perpetuity until somebody redeems it. Good. And with the sources of the three sheets as we went over in today's daf, the Rabbi Eliezer who says that it remains in Kedusha perpetuity, the question, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is Yovel a total non-event and the owner still retains all of his rights to redeem it during the second Yovel? Or maybe no. Maybe the land is going to remain in Kedusha perpetuity, but the owner is no longer considered the owner, the original owner. He may lease the land after the Yovel, but that's it. He can't redeem it back. The Gemara leaves that question in a doubt, in debate. Okay. Let's continue with the Mishnah. We have a little bit of time.
The three opinions, which one is acceptable?
The position that is is accepted by the Rambam is Rabbi Yehuda.
Is that a knas that the original owner is now completely dissociated from his own land, that you don't let him
The Gemara bases on drushas.
On drushas, but
okay.
No, but Yehuda allows the.
Let's.
Allows the leasing of it again. Leasing by this.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Correct. We start with the next Mishnah. Alokech Sadeh Me'aviv. Now this Mishnah should sound familiar. We touched on this Mishnah earlier in the Masechta, but here's the Mishnah. A person buys a land from his father. Umeis aviv, and then the father dies. So now, even though he purchased the land, but because it's his father and he stood to inherit the land, so we're going to qualify this land as a stay Yerusha, as a field that he inherited. V'acharka chikdisha, so now he's makdish. Harehi kasei achuza. So good. So now, in terms of categories, this land is going to be considered stay achuza. And so therefore, a couple of things. Number one, when he redeems it, so it's going to stay with him. Number two, when he redeems it, he's going to have to add the surcharge of a chomesh. Okay. Now, here's where it gets tricky. He buys the land from his father. The sequence now is that first he redeems it, then his father dies. So now, how is the land going to be regarded categorically? Is this land going to be to him like a stay achuza, or is it going to be like a stay mikna? So this is going to be a machlokas. Harei kastei mikna divrei Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, it's going to be treated like a stay mikna. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Armim, harei kastei achuza. And the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is that it's going to be like a stay achuza. Shenemarim yistei mikna sar shalom yistei achuza so. And the reason why Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon take that position, now if you think about it, Rabbi Meir's position is easier to defend because at the time when he was makdashit, what was it? It was a purchase field. Yes, he stands to inherit it, but at the time when he was makdashit, he did not inherit it. It was a purchased land. So the position of Rabbi Meir is just easier to look at. What is behind the position of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara now goes on to explain. The Mishnah explains. It's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, "Shenemrei mistei miknaso asher lo mistei achuza so." This is the very next parsha in the Torah, and that is stei mikna. And what happens when a person is makdish a stei mikna? When the Torah introduces us to stei mikna, the way the Torah says it is, it's a stei mikna, which is not a stei achuza, yeah. Which we know. If it's a stei mikna, of course it's not a stei achuza. And what is the Torah driving at? And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon explain, stei achuza. What the Torah is driving at is that for it to qualify as a stei mikna, it means that it can't even potentially be a stei achuza. This land to you, you purchased it from your father. This, since it could potentially be a stei achuza, so therefore it qualifies as a stei achuza, even though you were a makdishit before your father died. Stei mikna eino yotze l'kohanim b'yovel she'ina d'makdish d'ver she'ina shalom. A stei mikna does not go to the kohanim in yovel. Because when a person is makdish a stei mikna, what is he being makdish? Not the land, the lease. And so when you're makdish the lease, so that does not go to the kohanim because it's a lease that you're being makdish. Usage, but you're not being makdish the land. The only thing the kohanim get is when the person is makdish the land. Who can be makdish the land? Only the ancestral owner. The last line of the Mishnah, I'll translate, but I will not explain. The Gemara will do so in tomorrow's daf. Kohanim and Levim can consecrate always. They can redeem always, whether it's before Yovel, whether it's after Yovel. Good, the words have been translated. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Let's start with the Gemara. V'im sedei miknasor shalom istei achuza so. Sada shein rui lios sada, stei achuza yatsazu shirui lios stei achuza div Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. So here in the Braisa, we just simply get reintroduced to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, but frankly, it's the same point that we learned in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon says that as long as the land is potentially going to become a stei achuza, so therefore currently it qualifies as a stei achuza, even though you were makdish it before you actually inherited it. Rabbi Meir Omer Minan Lokeach Sada Me'aviv Meis Aviv Achar Kach Chiktishu Minan Shetei Lefanav Kistei Achuza Tamalam Ravi Mistei Meknaso Asher Lo Mistei Achuza So Sada She'inu Sada Estei Achuza Yasa Zushi Estei Achuza. Rabbi Meir only limits the scenario to where first you inherited the land and then you were makdish it. But if you were makdish it and then you inherited the land, so then Rabbi Meir disagrees.
What's the Chiddush really?
Of the Braisa?
No, not Rabbi Meir.
Wait, Rameir argues with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, but he inherited the land before he was married.
That's true, but at the same time also, he did purchase it. Meaning, you're right, but he did purchase it. He purchased it first. So and he based it on a drasha. Because the pasuk says, "Im misdei miknaso asher lo misdei achuza so." It has to be a purchase field which is not an inherited field. Sada she'enu sada achuza. Yatsuzushi stei achuza. This is an inherited field. Okay. And what we'll stop over here and tomorrow when we pick it up at the bottom of the Amud. So the Gemara now is going to try to inject not only drushas and psukim, but also svara as well. Arguments that we can make in order to defend the position of either Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, or Rabbi Meir. Okay, the first part of today's daf is really succinctly summarized with what happens with unredeemed consecrated fields in the Yovel year. Three shitas, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say it goes to the Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda says they have to redeem it. Rabbi Shimon says no, they don't. Rabbi Elazar says that it does not go to the Kohanim. It remains in Kedusha perpetuity until somebody redeems it. When somebody redeems it, then the following Yovel goes to the Kohanim. Okay, sourcing of Rabbi Elazar. Follow-up question Rabbi Elazar occupied most of today's daf. And then finally, when a person purchases a field from a father and inherits the field, so how do we categorically describe that? As a stei mikna or as a stei achuza? And what happens if he's makdish it before he acquires it? What happens if he's makdish it before he inherits it? What happens if he inherits it before he's makdish it? And to that, the Gemara brings in multiple, two opinions. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon on one side, Rabbi Meir on the other. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow.